Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Our text this morning will begin with the book of Malachi, if you want to find that. If you're not sure where that is, find Matthew, and then go just back before that to the book of Malachi. We'll be there in just a few moments. Malachi chapter number 1. We are going to take the offering at the end of the service today. I can't be sneaky with Suzanne. She knows what's going on here. Yeah, okay. Mixing it up just a little bit here this morning on purpose. One pastor stood before his people to introduce the time of the offering. And he got up and said, "I would like to remind you that what you're about to give is tax deductible. It cannot be taken with you when you die. It's referred to in the Bible as filthy lucre. And the love of this is the root of all evil." And I think his intention basically was, so you might as well give because, look at all the bad things from it and all the good things you gain by giving it. And he was trying to motivate his people to give in the offering. Why do we have an offering? Have you thought about it? Have you considered it? I really am enjoying this series because it's forcing me to answer questions in my mind as to why we do these different things that we do all of our lives. Not that I'm really questioning them, doubting them, or seeking to change them, but just to once again solidify in our hearts and minds why we do what we do. Why do we have an offering? Do we have an offering just because we're Baptists and good Baptists always take an offering? You go anywhere, any sort of meeting that Baptists have, and generally speaking, Baptists are going to take an offering. Is that the reason? There we go. Do we have an offering just because we're going to pay the bills? We need to be able to keep the lights on, and we need to be able to pay for all the different things that we do here, gas for the lawnmower and whatnot. Do we have an offering just because we are trying to have a really swanky facilities and we need to be able to purchase a private jet for our pastor or something like that, as other churches might do? Is it that we're trying to have things that are just really, really fancy for our church? Be wealthy in that. Or is an offering truly an act of worship? And this morning's Bible message, I trust, should help to answer that question. Is giving a part of worship? And I want to answer that, but I also want you to ask in your own heart and mind, if you worship when you give. Truly, when you give, when you are taking part in the offering, are you worshiping God? Is it a mental thought that you are putting into it when that offering amount goes in? You've been saved maybe for decades, and perhaps you've been giving in the offering just as long. I wonder, is it truly an act of worship, or is it just a habit? Is it just something you do that you take out and you put something in the plate just because you do? Is it a habit? Or is there truly an act of worship that is behind it? Now, the wonderful thing about me preaching a message this morning upon giving is the fact that I don't know who gives and I don't know what people give. I don't know. So if today you happen to walk out of here and say, "Boy, Pastor was really looking at me today," that means absolutely nothing. Because I don't know what you give or if you give. You may be the greatest giver in here or not. I'm not preaching for that purpose. I'm preaching because we're looking at the subject at hand here, the subject of giving. And this morning, I'm going to ask God to teach us through His Word that we must worship God through giving. There must be an act of worship to it. And when you're worshiping, you should be involved in giving. I want you to see both of those aspects here this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the privilege of worshiping you and giving you the worth, the glory that you deserve. Now, Father, help us to understand this familiar truth, but maybe see it in a different light, to be refreshed by it, bolstered in our faith and grounded in what we believe, Lord, and help us truly then to worship you with our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To look at the truth this morning from the Word of God, we're going to look at two basic points that I want you to follow along with and notice. And the first is going to be quite simply this. We have to establish that giving itself is worship. In and of itself, the act of giving is worship. And then from there, our second part is going to ask the question, since we're dealing with corporate worship or worship when we gather together here, we're going to be looking at the subject of whether giving is a part of public worship, gathered worship, corporate worship. Should it be a part of the service that we have when we gather together as a church to worship God? So those are our two questions that we're going to look at. Number one, I want you to see that giving is worship. We said that worship, as we study the Word of God and put together a definition, is a realization of God's greatness. You see how wonderful He is. And sometimes it's the wonder of His grace or the wonder of His love. But sometimes it's a fear and a reverence as you see His majesty. It's a realization of God's greatness, prompting a confession of my lowliness. I'm willing to bow the knee. I see that God is great, and therefore I am lowly. I submit to Him. It's prompting a confession of my lowliness, and it produces an action in His service. I am then willing to say, if He's that great and I'm that low, I am willing to serve Him. I ought to serve Him because He's a great God. A three-part definition of worship. And I want you to see this morning that giving fits into that category of worship in all three aspects. First of all, I want you to see that giving glorifies God by putting Him first in our lives. Our text this morning begins in Malachi chapter number 1 and verse number 6, where it says, "A son honoreth his father." He gives him that respect that he ought to. "And a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name." God looks at these priests and He says, you treat my name as if it's little, as if it's insignificant. You're looking at me as if I'm not this great God. You're not worshiping me. You see me as insignificant and not special at all. And He's talking to the priests, the very people that are supposed to be leading in the worship of God. And their question is kind of like, really? What? Look at the answer or the question that they ask back, verse number 6 at the end. "And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Prove it. How do you know we treat you so little?" Verse 7, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if he offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts." God comes down to them and He says, listen, you treat me as little. You treat me as an insignificant God. You despise me. And the priests say, how do you know that? How can you tell that? And God says, I can tell by your offerings. I can tell by what you give me. And instead of giving me the best, instead of giving me the lambs that have no blemish and no spot on them, instead you say, hey, this one's about to die anyway. Let's give that as a sacrifice to God. This one's sick. This one's wounded. This one will never be able to live very long here. So let's give that to God. And God makes a direct connection between our giving and our view of the greatness of God. There is a direct connection between our giving and putting God first in our lives. There's a direct connection between your giving to God and your worship of God in your heart and in your life. The passage makes it very clear, and I want you to see that. If you give unto God, there can be a sense in which you see His greatness and His glory. But if you don't give to God, this message from the Word of God this morning is going to show you that you don't see your God as a great and powerful and mighty God that is worth giving unto His name. It helps you to put Him first in your lives. I find it interesting that the Scriptures tell us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5 that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness, that desire to have more and want things for ourselves, God calls it idolatry. And when our mentality is, no, I can't give unto God because I want these other things first. I want more for me. I want more for me. I want more money for me instead of giving to God. He says that's actually another idol that has taken the place of God. So when you give, you are putting God first in your life. Not some new toy, not the latest technology, not house beautiful, not ease and convenience, not eating out, not trendy clothing, not impressive vehicles. No, God is what is who and what is first in your life here. Job lost everything. Job chapter number 1.
He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his family. Chapter 2, he loses his health. And Job is able to look and he's able to say to God, "The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
God's still first in his thoughts. God's still first in his priorities. He sees God as being the giver of it. In Matthew chapter number 19, we find, and I'll read the text to you in verses 16 through 24, about this rich young ruler. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And what he was trying to do is get this man to reveal whether or not he really saw Jesus as God. Was he really willing to call Jesus God? "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments," he saith unto him, "which?" Jesus saith, "Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And as Jesus interacts with this young man that has these great possessions, he wants to see whether he's going to acknowledge himself as God. He calls him good, and Jesus says, "Listen, there's really only one good. That's God. Do you see me as God?" And so to prove it, then he says, "Well, what you need to do is you need to keep the commandments." And Jesus lists all these different commandments off that can basically be summarized in this: love thy neighbor as thyself. And the man looks and he says, "Yeah, I kept all those. I did all those different things." And Jesus says, in essence, "Well, then if you really think that I'm God, and if you really love everybody, you shouldn't have any problem obeying my command to give up everything that you have and give it to everybody else. That would be love. You shouldn't have a problem with that." And the man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. God was not first in his life. He really didn't love other people in his life. He really hadn't fulfilled the commandment. And he walked away. His lack of giving was directly connected to his lack of willingness to put God first in his life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21 makes the connection as well from a little different angle, where it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And you find that what you invest the treasure of your time in is that which you have a passion about. It's true of every single one of us. We invest our time in something, and boy, we talk about it, and we're willing to be involved in that thing, and we're willing to give money towards that thing, and we're willing to sacrifice for that thing. It is something where our heart begins to be at. And listen, you put your treasure in God, you invest in God financially, so to speak, you give unto God, and your heart will be there as well. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7 tells us that God wants us to give as we purpose in our heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We want to give unto God. He's first place in our lives, and we want to make Him to be that person who is first place. It connects to our heart. It connects to what is first place in our lives. And if giving truly is worship, then it helps us to see when we give that God is first place in our lives. It's an important thing that we be involved in giving. John 3 and verse number 16 makes that connection between the heart of love and giving when it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Every single one of us in our lives who have done that which is sinful, every single one of us in our lives who have done that which is wrong, and to be honest, we're people who at times are not very lovable. We're people at times who have rejected God. We're people who just do terrible things and reject God's will for our lives and His word and His commandments and His instructions. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, those wretches in the sight of God, those people that would reject Him, He would still love us so much He gave His Son to die on the cross. And if we will simply turn from our sins and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we can be saved and have a relationship with Him. The heart and the giving are still connected there in John 3 and verse 16. Number two, I want you to see this, that giving glorifies God by trusting Him to provide. Go to Malachi chapter 3, just over a page or two. We're walking through several passages of Scripture today, and so I hope that you're willing to turn there and see what the Word of God has to say as we look at this important topic here. Giving glorifies God by trusting Him to provide. Now listen, here you are, and you're being challenged to give to God. And listen, unless you're independently wealthy, that means you're going to have less to live on.
That means that your pocketbook and your bottom line is a little bit lower to pay all of those bills and make the ends meet in your life. And when you give to God, you not only glorify Him by putting Him first in your life, but you also glorify God by saying, my God is big enough to take care of my needs on the remaining amount of money. My God is strong enough. My God is good enough. My God is powerful enough. He is wise enough to make sure that my needs are met. He knows me, He cares for me, and my God is that kind of a God. And when you give in the offering, you are telling everybody else, you are saying this, I believe my God is that kind of a great and big and awesome God. Malachi chapter 3 talks about it here, beginning in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Notice that statement. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So much going on here beyond what we could talk about, but here the point is that God tells us that we can prove Him in this area. We're not giving just so that we can get. We're not giving just so that we can become wealthy here. We're not manipulating God in that sense. But God says, listen, when you give, I will take care of you. I will meet your needs. I will provide. You can prove me. You can take me to the test on this thing. You can do it. I read the story recently of a pastor in New York City who was preaching on tithing. And as he was preaching on tithing, an individual walked into the service that didn't really know if they really believed in God or not. The pastor was preaching on tithing and he was talking about this very concept that in giving, God is going to prove Himself. He's going to prove Himself. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to respond. He's going to be able to. You're going to be able to take care of your bills with what remains. And the agnostic looked at the pastor and he says, fine, I'll take you up on it. He said, let's sit down right now and figure out what 10% of my income is. They figured it all out there. They talked about the pastor. The man made a commitment over the next 4 months that he was going to tithe 10% of his income. To be honest, the man didn't even show up to church that month or much over the next 4 months. But he gave faithfully. He made sure that he gave 10%. And a year later, the man was baptized. Why? Why did the man turn to Christ? Why did the man turn to God? Because God kept His promise that if you give, I will meet your needs. And the man could look and he could say, this is the hand of God. God did take care of me in this particular way. And when you give, you are saying to everyone, I believe that my God is big enough. I believe that my God is great enough to take care of my needs just as He promised to do. And when you say that your God is that great, that is worship. Number three, I want you to see that giving glorifies God by acknowledging that everything comes from Him. You're acknowledging that everything comes to Him. Would you take your time and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Is giving really worship? Sure it is. It's worship because you're putting Him first. That's worship. It's worship because you're believing He's great enough to provide for your needs. And it's worship because you see Him as being the great source that gave you everything to start with. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7 says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Everything that you have, you received it. God says, I gave it to you. And you're not allowed to rock around and boast and brag and say, look at everything that I did and look at everything I accomplished, because God says, I did it. Now, you may sit here and say, well, listen, I accomplished this because I just have this great wit in business. I just have this great understanding of how this particular field that I'm in really works. Well, where did you get that great wit? Where did you get that great understanding? Well, listen, I just have a body that just is able to function in my particular line of work and be able to enable me to do these different things. Where did you get that body? Where did you get that skill? Where did you get that mental capacity here? You got it from God. You got your brawn, you got your brain, you got your body, you got it all from God. And you need to understand that and you need to see that. And when you give back unto God, what you're saying is, God, you're the great God who gave it all to me in the first place, and I'm just going to give back to you. David, as he was taking the offering for the temple there in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14, here's what he said. But who am I and what is this people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. It was all yours anyway, God. You gave it to me in the start with, and so it's really not a big deal that we give back to you because it all came from you. You gave it to us.
He goes on and he says in verse 15, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house, for thy holy name cometh of thine hand, and all is thine own."
Listen, do you look at your wallet and say, that's my money? Or do you look at your wallet and say, that's the money that God gave me the ability to make. This is still God's money that's in my bank account. And I'm going to use all of this money for God's honor and for God's glory. It came from God. It's His money. He entrusted it to me. He gave me the ability to make it. He gave me the ability to enjoy it. He gave me the ability to serve Him with that money. And when we have that upon our minds, it won't be nearly so difficult for us to give Him that money back. And listen, when you begin to worship God with your money, when you begin to worship God and seeing His greatness and putting Him first, and seeing His greatness and providing for your needs, and seeing His greatness and being able to take care of all of your other needs, then truly when it comes time for the offering, you're going to be able to worship God with your giving. Because otherwise, it's simply going to be drudgery. Otherwise, it's going to be, oh, there goes another chunk of money. Man, if I just had that money, I could do this, and our family could go here, and we could buy this, and I could have that new toy, and this would be here, and it's going to become drudgery. But what you must have instead is worship. What you must have first is the greatness of God. My God is so great, I'm going to put Him first. My God is so great that He's going to take care of the rest of my needs. My God is so great that He enabled me to get any of this money in the first place, and I have no problem giving back to Him. Truly, we do worship God in our giving. Number four, I want you to see that giving glorifies God by submitting to His commands. Submitting to His commands. I want you to go back to Proverbs in your Bible in the middle of the passage here. Proverbs that provides such great direction for our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10. Do you remember our definition of worship that we talked about at the very beginning of the service? We talked about how worship sees God's greatness, and then it causes us to have a confession of our own lowliness. We've shifted now from the first several points from God's greatness to now our lowliness, our willing to submit and bow the knee to God. We're going to submit to His commands. Because in Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, the text reads this, "Honor the Lord." Boy, that term honor certainly reminds us of worship, doesn't it? Giving God His worth, giving God His weight, seeing how valuable He really is. Honor and worship the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Here in this passage in Proverbs, not in the Old Testament law, but in Proverbs, it clearly teaches us that we're supposed to worship God, honor God, glorify God with giving, and giving Him the first portion of all of our increase here. This is a command to us from Scripture. And so when you are willing to give unto God, you are glorifying God by submitting unto Him, by bowing the knee and saying, God, this is what You wanted me to do, and I'm going to obey, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to read to you Deuteronomy 14:22. It says this, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose to place His name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thy oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks." Now notice this part. He said all of this giving that they should be involved in, "that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." Now here it is instructions to the Jews here. It is in the law. It is instructions to Israel. He's telling them to tithe in the way that was specific unto them. But what He's saying is this, when you tithe, when you give in the way that I have told you to do so, it will help you with fearing God, with your submission and your reverence and your respect to God. You will be obeying what God has told you to do here. It's going to make a huge difference in your life. You can't see Him, you can't feel Him at times, but you're going to still give unto Him, and you're going to be showing that you are honoring and submitting and obeying and worshiping that God. Tithing is really a testimony that you believe in the unseen God. Now listen, as we look at the Scriptures here, often the question is asked in our culture, a culture which is seeking to reject the concept of the tithe. A culture in which the surveys say Christians give 2.5% of their giving. The question is asked, is the tithe biblical?
And often the mentality is, well, the tithe was in the Old Testament, and so the tithe is just something for the Old Testament Jews. But we're in the New Testament, and so all of that has been done away, and you can give whatever you want, but I would challenge you to consider a couple things. Is the tithing for us? Absolutely. We know that the tithing is for us because it was around before the Old Testament law came into being. Abraham tithed, Genesis chapter 14. He gave a tithe of all he possessed. Abraham's grandson Jacob tithed a tenth of his income, Genesis 28, verse number 22. And often as I read the scriptures here, when people would come to Jesus Christ with these questions of, oh, what about this or what about that? And they're having these debates and they're trying to get Jesus in the corner. Jesus never chose sides. Instead, He always chose something that was greater. He always chose something that was more challenging. And when it comes to this New Testament age of grace that everybody wants to talk about, I really find it hard to believe that God would tell us, listen, you've come into this time of grace when you have all the more of God's resources, all the more of God's blessing, all the more of God's grace. In the ages to come, I want to show the exceeding abundance and the riches of His grace so you can do even less than what they did in the Old Testament. It's totally inconsistent. In fact, the teaching of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, we'll see this later on in the service, is that truly New Testament giving is proportionate giving. It's still proportionate. The tithe, the tenth there, is still proportionate giving. Malachi says it pretty boldly that if we aren't involved in giving of our tithes, we are robbing the Lord. It belongs to Him. Honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He owns that. He deserves it here. One person was newly saved. They were being taught this principle of tithing. They didn't have everything all figured out yet, but here's what they said. Wow, God has done so much for me. He saved me from hell. He forgave me. He gave me a home in heaven. And all He wants back is 10%. Now, truly, God wants a lot more from our lives than that. He wants us to serve us with our lives. But what a great deal, they thought, with all that God has given to us. Parents sat down with their child, and it was the first paycheck that their son had received. And so as they laid the cash out there on the table, the parents talked and said, "Now listen, the Bible teaches us the importance of tithing here. And the importance of giving unto God. And so out of this particular paycheck here, you ought to give God at least 10%. That just belongs to God." And so they separated that amount off. And they said, "Now in addition to the tithe, the scripture talks about an offering. What would you like to give as an offering to the Lord on top of it?" And the son took a chunk and he slid that over. And so he gave tithes and he gave offering unto the Lord. He put God first in his life. He submitted to God, submitted to God's commands. And listen, when you give here, you are saying, "My God is great. My God has given me a command, and I'm going to worship. I'm lowly. I'm His servant. I'm just doing what He's expected me to do." Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11 describes the wise men. And it says this, that when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And how often we think how wonderful it would have been to be one of those wise men and be able to bow the knee unto God and say, "Listen, I'm going to physically, in the very presence of the Christ child, be able to give Him that gift." And yet you have the opportunity to do that every Sunday when you come to worship with God's people. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16, to do good and to communicate. Communicate financially is the concept there. "Forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Giving, that financial commitment and giving unto others there, is a sacrifice that is pleasing unto God. Truly, it is worship. Two little boys were each given a box of chocolates from their grandfather. The first little boy unwrapped a box of chocolates. Seeing what they were, he dashed off to his room and so excited about a whole box of chocolates, he just began stuffing them one after another, right into his mouth until he was a whole smeary mess of chocolate and goo and just enjoying every waking moment of it. The other little boy sat there and he took the lid off the box and just gazed excitedly at the chocolates, just amazed that his grandfather would give him these chocolates. And he turned around and he looked up his grandfather and he said, "Thank you for giving me chocolates. Here, you take the first one." And listen, every time you come to church and you give your tithe unto the Lord, what you're saying is, "God, thank you for giving me this paycheck this week. Thank you for meeting the needs of my family. Thank you for providing some extra things for me as well. Here, God, you take the first one. You take the first part because you gave it all to me to start with." And we are honoring God. We are submitting to Him. But number five, and lastly on this point, I want you to see that giving glorifies God by acting in His service for His people.
acting in His service. You see, worship is a realization of God's greatness. We talked about giving in that regard. Followed by a confession of my lowliness, but it always produces an action in His service. You can't say that you're worshiping God if you're not doing anything for God. Worship is active. Worship is getting out and serving God and serving God's people. And it's been amazing to me as we've studied this, how many times we see a direct connection between loving the Lord your God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. A connection between God, worship of God, always comes out in service to other people. And so when it comes to giving, we ought to expect the exact same thing. That if we're going to be worshiping God, it's going to come out in our service to other people. There is some way in which our giving to God is going to be a service and a blessing to other people. It's always going to be that way. And the Scriptures truly tell us that that is the case. You don't have to take the time to turn there, but Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 5 was our theme verse last year, and it talked about the fellowship of the gospel. Fellowship not only in the sense of partnering there and sharing the gospel, but the Philippians, there were a people who partnered with Paul financially in sharing the gospel. And listen, when you give to God and you worship Him with giving towards missions, you are partnering there in the cause of the gospel and sending it out, and you are helping missionaries. Worshiping God, yes, helping others at the same time. When you give unto God, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 18, Paul says it's a sacrifice that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God when they would give to God for the sake of His mission's endeavor. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we referenced it in the song time this morning here. We talked there about how Paul challenged the people to give to meet the needs of other people. And in the Scriptures, they would give unto God, they would give to the church, and it was given to meet the needs of different ones. Acts chapter 2, 4, and 5 bring that out. Meets other people's needs. Galatians 6 and verse number 6, I believe it is, talks about those people who are taught in the Word. They give to those that preach the Word to them, that communicate to the Word to them. They give unto God, and in, as a result, it meets the needs of the preacher. And so in many different ways, we see the clear teaching of Scripture that we worship God, and then at the same time, we meet the needs of the needy in our church. We meet the needs of the missionaries. We meet the needs of those preaching the Word of God here. We meet the needs of the church here. We are worshiping God, and yet we are serving others as well. All three major parts of worship are taken care of in the concept of giving. You see that God is great. You put Him first. You obey Him. You submit to Him. You take care of the needs of other people. And truly you are worshiping God. So I wonder this morning, are you giving to God? Are you worshiping God by giving? And those of you that are giving, I wonder if over time you become desensitized to it. It's become monotonous. It's become a ritual. It's become a routine. And you forgot that when you put that $10 bill in the plate, when you put that tithe in the plate, when you put whatever that offering is in the plate, you are saying, God's first in my life. I'm investing my treasure there. I want my heart to be there. You forgot that you're saying, I believe my God's big enough to take care of my needs on the rest of it. You forgot that what you're really saying is, all of this came from God. God gave me the ability to get all this, and I'm giving it back. You forgot that what you're really saying is, I'm bowing the knee and I'm submitting and I'm going to do what God says in honoring the Lord with my substance. And I'm worshiping God by giving to Him so that the needs of other people can be met. And you've forgotten that your giving really is worship. So we see this morning that giving is worship. But number two, and we'll see this much more quickly, giving is a part of corporate worship. If giving is so important here, if giving is so much a part of worship, how is it a part of that which we do when we gather together to worship God? And as we just enter into this thought, when we gather together in worship here, we are gathering together so that we can publicly say before everybody else, have you come, by the way, for this purpose this morning? To publicly bow the knee and say, my God is great, I'm submitted to Him, and I'm going to be involved in His service going forward. When you gather together in worship, that's one of the things that you are saying. And certainly, if you're going to come and you're going to acknowledge God's greatness, you're going to bow the knee to Him, and you're going to go forward in His service, giving is going to have to be a part of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is our first text, and let's briefly walk through these. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? Why is giving at worship... Why is it really a part of corporate worship? Why should it be something that we do? Well, number one, because giving at worship gatherings is the way God commanded it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia."
That's an important statement because it tells us that not only did Paul say, this is a command for you Corinthians, but Paul is saying, listen, this is universal. I've told all of these other churches the same exact command. This isn't a one-time thing. It's a universal application here.
"I've told all the other churches, I've ordered them, even so do ye." Verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week," there's our key, "let every one of you," that's important, "lay by him in store as God hath prospered him." There's an important nod to tithing, isn't it? It's a proportionate amount. "That there be no gatherings when I come."
Why should we give when we gather corporately? Why should we give when we're going to worship, not privately in our homes, but publicly in the church house? Why should we give then? We should give then because that's what God said to do. He said on the first day of the week, when you're gathering together, that's when you're supposed to give. That was God's command. That was God's clear instruction. And to be honest, that's the fundamental reason.
I want you to notice number two, though, that giving at worship gatherings is the way giving is possible.
I like logic. So you're not going to give at church. How are you going to give to God? Are you going to send a check to heaven? Okay, I'm being ridiculous here, but what bank are we going to deposit it in? To what address are we going to send it? God, the way we give to God is we give through His local church. The instruction is brought out here in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2 about giving on the Lord's Day as they gather together to worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 makes it very clear, as Paul is telling them to gather this special offering for this special purpose, that they're going to give it to the church, and the church is going to provide some important precautions there to make sure that the money is handled safely and is carried safely to meet the needs of those people. They're going to give through the local church. That's how you give to God. God's institution, Matthew 16 and verse number 18, is the local church. And so you give your tithes through the local church here. That's the way it's possible to give to God. Number three, I want you to see that giving at worship gatherings is the way the Old Testament saints did it. That's the way they did it as they were going to worship. They gave when they gathered. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's go back to there. We're wrapping it up here, so I won't have you turn too many more times. Hopefully your thumbs don't have blisters on them and everything like that from looking at so many passages of scriptures. But Deuteronomy 16 and verse number 16 here, I want you to see this. Admittedly, this is Old Testament instructions to Israel. I understand that, but you can grasp a principle that can be boiled down from it. Notice Deuteronomy 16, 16. "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose." He's talking about the Jewish feasts. Three times a year they all went to Jerusalem. All right? "In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles." There's the three. "And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." How'd they do in the Old Testament? Well, I'll tell you how they did it. Every time they gathered in Jerusalem at God's temple, at God's house where they were going to worship God, they were expected to bring a gift. They were expected to bring an offering. Every time they gathered to worship, they were expected to do it. That's how the Old Testament saints did it. That's how the millennial saints are going to do it as well. Isaiah 60 and verse number 6 says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." Here they're going to come before the Lord, and as they're coming, they're bringing Him gifts in the millennial kingdom. We see, number five, that giving at worship gathering is the way that the early Christians did it. That's the way the early Christians did it. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter number 5, those people saw the needs of others. They wanted to give to meet the needs of those other people, but they didn't just run over there and give to meet those needs. They brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They brought the money to the church leadership, and they brought it there, and they gave the money to the church. And the church then, as they knew the needs, was able to give and to meet those different needs of the different people here. They gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, again, through the church, to meet the needs of the needy people that were other Christians that were around the world here. That's the way that God intended it to be. And so we read the scriptures this morning in Psalm 96 and verse number 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. A part of corporate worship is giving. A part of gathering together where we're going to publicly declare, my God is great, and I am lowly and submitted to Him, and I'm going to serve Him. Part of me confessing that unto everyone is me being involved in giving that shows His greatness, giving that shows my submission, giving that shows my action in His service. Part of that corporate and public testimony of my worship is the act of giving. Now, briefly, I just want to distinguish in your minds maybe, or just give you something to chew on and think about, between the concept of the tithe and the concept of the offering. We talked about the tithe there in the sense of giving God that first 10%. That's what the word tithe means, is a tenth here. And as one person said about the tithe, we might tithe at different times, but the amount is essentially the same. And what they mean by that is, listen, sometimes you might tithe on a Sunday and you might not tithe the next Sunday because you get paid every other week. Maybe you get paid once a month. And so you tithe once a month. That's when the money comes in for you to give. That's your tithe. You might tithe at different times, but basically, as long as your paycheck is the same, the amount is basically the same. That's your tithing. But then there's the offering. The offering amount might vary, but the frequency does not. In this particular pastor's concept, as he was studying it, he was saying this: I believe what Psalm 96 says, that every time I gather to worship, I ought to give God my offering. I might not have so much tithe to give because I didn't get paid this week. I'll give that next week. But every time I come, I want to give something in the offering to God. I want to give a little bit extra. I want to give something just special, just out of worship unto my God. And it's going to be every time that I come and worship God. In that particular pastor's heart and mind, he saw his Sunday morning service as being the primary time of worship. He saw the Sunday night service as serving a little different capacity. So every Sunday morning when he gathered, he wanted to have something to put in the offering to worship God. He's going to come before the Lord and he's going to bring an offering. And you know what? That is challenging to me. That is greatly encouraging. Boy, what if I got up on Sunday mornings and every week I had my check ready or my cash ready or whatever it is, I had my offering ready here, and it wasn't just out of ritual, it wasn't just out of routine, but I'm coming and I'm saying, God, I'm coming to publicly declare my worship unto You, and I'm going to put it into the offering plate there every week. I'm going to give just a little bit unto God. I'm going to give my tithe regularly, but I'm going to make sure that every time I come to worship, I'm going to be giving an offering. One pastor said that in the song service, as we worship God, there's a unity there as we're all gathered together singing. It's planned. In the prayer portion of the worship service, there's some spontaneity because we're praying there from our hearts there, and it's not scripted out there. Song service is planned and unified. Prayer time is unified but spontaneous. But when it comes to the giving, that is individual. The other two are very much unified, but this is your individual expression of worship to God. This is my worship publicly. And my amount is different than your amount, but it's worship. Giving declares what's in your heart, your real love, your real priorities. So how can we have a public worship service where we declare our submission to God and not have a time where we are giving Him our money? Listen, there are throngs of people across our world today that are entering into places of worship, churches, and they're infatuated with the idea of coming and worshiping God. They're just interested in this idea. They want that feeling that I have worshiped, and yet they're not willing to give. They're not willing to give anything in the offering. They're not willing to give unto God. And listen, I'm not preaching this because we need greater offerings, because we need greater income. I'm preaching this because we have a great and mighty and a wonderful God to take care of us. And we owe Him this worship. We owe Him this submission. We owe Him this action in His service. And here is somebody that's saying, I want to go and experience worship at this church. I want to go, but they won't give to God. You cannot say that you worship God if you're not willing to give unto God. If you're not willing to say, God is so great to meet my needs, you haven't worshiped God. Your God is little. God, I'm going to put God first with my life. You're not willing to do that, you're not worshiping God. Don't stay there in your mind that you have worshipped God if you have not given unto God. And then there are others of us who give on a regular basis as well. But at times we forget to worship behind it. We forget that we are truly honoring the greatness of our God, submitting to His will and going forward to serve Him. I want to challenge you to be involved when the ushers come forward and they pray. I want to challenge you to have your thoughts not on a million other things, but to be involved in prayer. I want to challenge you to be in the service for the offering. I want to challenge you that during the offertory, that it's not just a time of chatter, and you do a really good job with this anyway, but it's a time when we're thinking about worshiping God and honoring God during that time of worship. I want to challenge you with those truths, because it is a time of worship. And the Scriptures tell us quite simply this: worship God through giving.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.